So, the Hit Politics podcast, Applying It Liberally, is coming live to Brooklyn. And guys, you do not want to miss this.
No, it's called 100 Days Down. And hosts and friends of Vlog's Culturistas, Keisha Zollar and Andrew Kimmler, are recapping and reviewing the first 100 days of the Trump presidency. And it's going to be a party.
And party guests include Akilah Hughes, Dylan Marin, and Allison Kilkenny, all going off on the Trump administration. This is going to be the best. How could you even think of missing this political event?
How could you think? It's at Littlefield in Brooklyn. You know where it is. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, April 26th at 7:30 p.m.
You need to get your tickets online at foreverdogpodcast.com.
Come through.
Apply it.
Apply it liberally.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now. Aiko, ande, Giacomo Fino, anane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Let the sun shine, let the sunshine in, the sunshine in, honey.
But I have a problem.
What?
It's an overcast day here in Los Angeles, okay. And to that I say, what the fuck?
Here's the thing, and I don't mean to have an inane conversation about LA versus New York, but in LA, you get an unobstructed light, and it really does change things.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Anyway, that's all. That's my thesis,
just for everyone that doesn't know, this is day four of Bowen and I being in Los Angeles. Like, really, literally living on top of each other.
And Matt has made such progress. We were walking down Sunset Boulevard. Oh. He points up to the Griffith Observatory and he goes, wow, look at that house. And I was like, Matt,
it was a house.
That is the Griffith Observatory.
It's my second time here. The first time I was on vacation with my family, we went on a celebrity homes tour, mm-hmm. and almost died chasing Adrian Grenier down the street. It was like a safari cart. And the guy's like, there's Adrian Grenier. And then we really almost died trying to get him, and it wasn't
poetically
him.
That would have been so poetically beautiful of you.
I would have loved that to be the news.
You guys, we have a resplendent guest.
Speaking
with
of
us
the sunshine
today. Oh baby,
can we talk about the credits?
Let's talk about the credits.
Okay.
As he fucking sharts out his mouth,
he gurgled into the mic. So listen, you can see him. Well, first of all, this is actually brilliant. 555 on Vimeo.
Oh,
honey, it's not just a place where you watch people's acting reels anymore.
Vimeo, no.
No, it is a full platform, honey.
555.
With the
so
fucking queen,
good.
Kate Burlett. This is really, it's really, really good.
Come on, see him on that. See him as Elliot on Search Party on TBS.
Animals on HBO, honey.
He has a live show at the Satellite every second Tuesday of the month.
Yeah, and he's going to be at the Bell House in New York. He's returning to the old stomping grounds.
Yes.
June 24th and 25th. Check him out then.
Guys,
you guys.
Welcome. John Early. Hey guys.
Hey.
Hey John.
Podcast voice.
Well, I'm sitting here and I'm like, this could be the podcast where I learn to like try to let the artifice of it melt away.
Yeah, no, this is that.
Yeah. What you're saying,
it's the moment.
You're saying there's a lot of artifice now?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay. Wait.
By the way, I love artifice.
Okay? You gotta love artifice.
But I'm talking about mics, headphones, because I've been on, you know, a million podcasts.
Yeah, sure. It's part of the round.
You gotta do it. And I never really get to a place of conversational ease.
Yeah.
Oh my God, never.
Like, it's impossible. I mean, I'm immediately comforted by both of you guys.
Really?
I really am.
We know each other from back.
Yeah.
In the jaw.
From back on the jaw.
I remember John. First time I ever heard about John was he was in a production of
A production of. Here
of
we go.
Psycho.
Horrified.
Psycho Beach Party.
Psycho Beach Party.
Yeah.
Charles Bush.
Ooh. I didn't see it, but I heard such amazing things. But no, but people were like, oh my God, John Early. And I was like, okay. Blip on my radar.
Blip. And then, of course,
Start Your Skit. Guys, if you haven't seen Start Your Skit, it is truly like the seed crystal of this whole thing, of John's whole career. You must. I mean, it still holds up so well.
It does.
Just Google Start Your Skit. It's fantastic.
Google it, bitch.
You want to see me at my skinniest.
Sure. I mean, but who wasn't skinnier in 09? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just a time when we all had jawlines and
I know
felt great about ourselves.
It's far enough away
but
now where
we?
I can look
did
at
we?
It and I'm like, oh, I look young. You
yeah.
know? Like, that's...
You're forever young.
Matt,
you know, there's... I won't deny that the change in my physical activity from when I was 19 to it's like night and day. Like, I used to be like a runner.
Really?
Like, I ran every single day, and now we this is our second day in a row eating McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it will hit me tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah. It's coming. I can feel the body changing.
But, like, physically, it hasn't really repercussed,
you know, but it will, and I'm very aware that it will.
Well, anyway,
sorry, we don't need to. I immediately, I always make it about weight.
No,
moment within 10 minutes.
Can I tell you the gay community, and we should be talking.
It's not only a weight journey for me, it's a jowl journey, first and foremost. It's like, when
facially,
it's like, when is this gonna like just zhuzh up? I don't know.
No, I'm just saying, I'm like, when did FaceTime be like, when was I all of FaceTime?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
I take up the whole frame now.
No, that's just an arm length thing. That's just
It doesn't matter how far. I could put it at the end of the room. And if I walk to the inner room, my face takes up the whole frame. But when
it's a parallax effect, 100%. John.
It must be.
How are you?
Emotionally, okay. What's your climate?
I'm good. I'm actually really good.
Good.
I just moved here.
Yes.
And it's perm. We've established that it's perm.
It's perm. Yeah. I'm just like having a great time. I've met some great people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm loving my little bungalow.
Ew. Ooh. Let me say, John moved from a beautiful place. Greg told me it was a beautiful place in Cobble Hill.
Wait, Greg?
Greg Hasatak.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful place in Cobble Hill? Or is it Carroll Gardens?
Carroll Gardens.
Beautiful place in Carroll Gardens.
Really right on the border.
Right in the border of
Carroll Gardens and Cobble Hill.
Mm-hmm. We know it.
You know it. And then, but to go from that to Silver Lake.
I mean, it's the ultimate.
Come on. I mean, that's a lateral move for me, at least.
Yeah.
I feel like Cobble Hill, like Carroll Gardens is like.
No, yeah. I would kill there. For that. I lived in South Slope.
Yeah, I love
like
South
almost,
Slope.
Like almost Sunset
You're
Park.
So close, yeah.
They called it Greenwood Heights.
Greenwood Heights. But anyway, so congrats on the move.
Thank you.
Sorry, I just had to like just take that tangent with the Carroll Gardens.
Was it an anguish decision, or you were like, no, it's time, I'm ready?
Thankfully there was no anguish because I thought I had a job. Like Kate and I thought we had a job, and mm-hmm. so there was no choice. It was just like, I have to move. Just Great. Pack up and move, which made it so easy.
Yeah.
I sobbed my brains out. I delayed my flight for 4 days. I just kept pushing it back. Yeah. And like literally hourly. Like I would like push it back a few hours, push it back a whole day. And I just like refused to pack. And then like the night before, sorry, was that a pop on the mic?
No.
That was an emotional reaction. then the night before I just put all my furniture on Craigslist for free and like had like scavengers come pick through it. Wow. And then I was a mess leaving New York. Had a very kind of clean, like on the plane right there, I my friend sent me a PDF of Goodbye to All That, Joan Didion.
Oh, that sure helped.
And then I finished the essay, and then I had purchased the Jonathan Gold documentary on iTunes.
Oh, wow.
So I really took care of myself.
You did.
I made that flight a metaphor.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. It worked. That's and then so I cool. got here and I just, I've had such a great time.
Great.
I love it.
That's good. And you know what? New York is still there.
It's still there.
It's still there.
And the work's still there.
Yeah, and the work's still there.
What was the toughest part? What set you off in the sobbing
the
marathon?
The sobbing was like, well, first
not
of all,
the people.
Not the people.
Not the people. No, the what set me off was like, I think it's just I spent all 10 years of my 20s in New York. Yeah. And so it's just a very natural like, it's over. My 20s are, it was just saying goodbye to my 20s, I guess. And then also like, there is something so devastating about moving when you're single.
Oh,
like okay. When you're doing all that stuff by yourself and you have no one, like I had like four suitcases, like everything was packed. And then I had four suitcases that I was taking on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I was like, it like dawned on me. It was like fully snowing.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit.
And I was like, when I was like waiting outside for the cab, I was like, I literally am not going to be able to carry this stuff from the cab to to check-in.
Right.
Whatever. Check-in?
Check-in.
Check-in.
Who knows?
Who cares? That's the thing about your podcast. Who cares?
Who cares?
Who fucking
That's
cares?
That's the thing.
But yeah, but then I was like, this is so brutal. I just started like looking at past. I couldn't help but start thinking about past relationships.
You were revisiting the romantic aspect of New York. Yeah.
And there's just something about like leaving a city for good with no one. You're like, you're like, oh, well, I failed, which of course isn't true. Just in my heightened emotional state, I'm like, nothing ever worked.
And you think it's going to be easier because you're like, oh, there's nothing here to fucking keep me behind. I'm not tangled up in anything here. But
like right. KT Toonstall's playing, like underscoring the move. Yeah, it was, I don't know. I was really upset. But I think it was also just a totally normal emotional response that I was then like trying to like, assign meaning to when really it was just like a big change.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, we're here for a week and I spent the whole first 48 hours like having an anxiety attack.
What was it about?
You know what, it was really just like I felt like it. You know what it is? It's like a Pavlovian thing I'm having, if that's even the right word, where it reminds me of Long Island where I grew up, because you have to drive everywhere.
Yeah.
And then we were sitting around, we were separated one night. This is how fucking dependent I am. We were separated one night and I was like, what are you doing? And he didn't respond for like 2 hours. Yeah. And I'm like, what's happening? What's going on? Done. Am I in high school? It's very the kind of thing. This isn't a city. First of all, I'm going to say it.
Oh.
This is a part of a state.
Okay.
And you got to drive around. And I don't think so, honey, it's Los Angeles.
It's a pastiche of neighborhoods.
No, I'm having a good time now. But yeah, I was just anxious. Maybe it is because I'm separated from Henry.
Oh, that's it. It's a boyfriend.
I'm just
thing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Who Henry?
Henry Kapersky, man. He tinkled the keys.
Oh, yes. I know him. Yes. But literally, he's like such a Facebook person for me.
And he just got back on Facebook, and he's been very absent for 6 months.
In fact, everyone
check out his recent post where he's detailed everything that's gone on in his life in the past 6 months that Facebook has missed. Yeah. He listed the shows that he's watched. God. One of them is Search Party, which he loved.
Thank God.
A little bit of love for you there.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking to myself, like, that's how crazy it is. Like, he feels like the need to like update everyone, like, just so you know, Facebook, we've been apart and here's what's going on,
right? Like, the point was to actually
excise all
kill
that
impulse share what you're doing, and then you come back and you have like, yeah, it's so funny.
No, just it was very but I had a conversation with someone yesterday who's like not on Facebook and never has been, and she's like, it's very interesting, it's like food and water. I was like, well, it's not, but it sometimes feels that pervasive.
Yeah, sure. But to go back to your anxiety,
oh yeah,
it was Henry related.
You know what it is? It's coming here and not loving it at first, and knowing, oh, I might have to move here someday.
Well, are
that's
you
really
eating at the
is.
Right restaurant? That's... I mean, it's literally just, I like, where did you go?
Oh my
honestly,
God. I've been pushing Mohawk Bend on this one, and we went there for drinks, but it was fun.
It's immediately just no stop.
Here we go. Here okay, we tell,
tell
us. School us.
What, tell
school
us. What's us. Up. Put
you
us at
need
ease.
To do. You need to go to. Okay, well, where are you staying here?
We're moving. We're in between Airbnbs now.
It's going to be in Little Armenia.
We're going to move a little bit closer
Great.
To the water.
Yeah.
You need to go to Night Market Song.
Okay.
You need to go to Trois Familia. You need to go to John and Vinny's. You need to go to Chengdu Taste.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to write all these down.
Chengdu Taste? We got to go. Is this on cool?
Chengdu Taste is the best Chinese food I've ever had
in
my life.
Chengdu Taste.
We're going. Okay, thank you. Anything else?
Yes.
Okay.
There was a lot of other things. Can I ask you, is this on cool? We went to Connie and Ted's.
I love Connie and Ted's.
That was
loved
great.
It.
I love it.
Had
it's
a great
so sweet. That's a
too.
Great. That's a great. Yeah.
What an assortment of oysters that place can lay out.
Guys, our waiter, our server came by to talk to us, talk us through the menu.
His name was Max.
Matt saw the oyster list and asked him. And Matt works in the industry.
I'm industry.
He works at a seafood restaurant.
Where?
Brooklyn Crab in Red Hook. You know
in
it?
Red Hook. So Matt is very...
It's called Brooklyn Crab.
So Matt has like a working knowledge of this. And he asks, do you guys have all these oysters? And then Max says, yes, we do. And Matt, this is so adorable, in his excitement and in his delight, said, wow, that is super cool.
I should qualify that no place has a dozen different kinds of oysters that they give out. Unless that's an LA thing, in which case I will move here.
Okay. There you go.
I love myself some raw... Shellfish.
Some raw shellfish. Yeah. But Matt is really acclimating to the city well and to the showbiz here. Speaking of showbiz, John, can we talk about 555?
Please.
We just binged it. And holy shit.
You guys are so good. It's nuts.
You should be super proud.
You should be so proud. Oh my God. I have just so many thoughts and just so many good.
I felt
good
very seen by aliens.
Yes.
I grabbed Bowen and I was like, this is literally insane. Also, Nicole Sbizio is so fucking funny on it.
So good.
Fan of the pod, Nicole.
Love Nicole.
Has she been on the pod?
She hasn't.
No, she will be on.
But she like will quote it back to us sometimes. She's and we're the like, best. Oh my
Nicole,
God.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. But holy shit. I felt super seen by that episode. It's like when you guys are describing the characters that you have, I just love. Everyone that knows that's every fucking showcase.
Yeah.
What was that? What does the title mean? That's what we know it's five different installments.
I mean, it's literally that simple. Okay, and then okay. It just happened to like also have some thematic relevance of just like 555 is the fake area code they use in movies when there's like a phone number.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's like it's whenever it's because you legally can't be like 310.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
We do have a phone number.
Yes, you
in
do.
In one of the shorts, which we didn't even. No one on set was considering it. And we like, and when we were editing it, we were like holding hands and we called the number. We're like, oh my God, oh my God. And then it was a fax machine.
Oh, great. Thank
God. So we're fine.
Wow. Crisis averted there.
But yeah, 555, yeah, that's the fake area code. And so we're like, oh, that's kind of nice because there's like, it's like related to Hollywood. And it's like,
yeah,
it's, you know, there's some like element of artifice in every short, you know, sure, whatever. Sure.
I was hoping it was as simple as.
Just five
there's five
things.
Episodes. Well,
no, it literally is. And by the way, good job, because people are literally never consider that. People are like, yeah. We've been interviewed so many times. People are like, so there are six shorts. I'm like,
no.
Five. I mean, it's so weird to me that no one picks up on that.
Right. Oh my God. It's so good. That last Thanks. Shot of, I mean, it cuts from you to
Here's
Kate.
A question. I want to dive right to the truth of this. Can he see at the end of the fifth episode? Or do you not even know?
Well, listen.
Or do you not
That was
even know?
Not in the script at all. That uh-huh. was actually that moment of me looking at Kate is actually just when we had stopped shooting.
Okay. Now I love it.
That
yeah.
makes it even better.
And we were shooting, we were going to shoot something where I was like looking past her and we accidentally made eye contact and she was going to, that's why we have the reaction of her being like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. Then in editing, it was like, it just worked really beautifully. Andy, who directed it, was like, uh-huh. just, it was like a really effective, powerful ending. However, I don't think he can see.
Okay.
Like, I'm not interested in a short in which he can see. Andy and Kate might disagree with me on that.
Okay.
But like, I think he's really going blind. Like,
for sure.
He's screaming in the meeting. Oh like, he's God. Really going blind. And like, yeah. and. Yeah, so I just don't think he would make it up to get out of his life or something. Sure. You can interpret it that way.
My interpretation was
yes.
okay. the book club that this is, that he gained his sight back in that moment. Oh. She was like, oh, fuck! And to me, that was clearly
well,
what was
I
happening.
I like that.
I looked to Bowen and we thought the same exact thing, which was like, oh my God, he can
see
again.
Not that he could see all along, but that he can see
no,
again.
No, he genuinely was blind, but then he gets it back. I don't know how.
Did
I don't
you
know
never consider that?
Amazing Grace.
Yeah, really.
I honestly only considered it as either it's literally an accident, like
right,
when he's okay. accidentally making eye contact and she's confused, or he has been faking it or
right,
something,
okay.
and that's the reveal. But that is beautiful, and I want to say that that's right.
Wow. I was positive.
This is why we record this podcast.
Yeah.
We get to that kernel of truth.
Also, we started that episode and Bowen goes, I love her straight hair.
Stop. No, fuck. God damn it. No, that's not how I meant it.
But it's great. She looks amazing.
She looks great. I mean, like, it's not about the hair, but like, just in that, for that character.
No,
it's
but
perfect.
But
it's
she
perfect.
Did look amazing.
It's also, Kate was so funny with the straight hair. Like,
it was the she, way
the
that
dancing.
It was parted.
Yeah. yeah.
And, oh, well, she God. Also, yeah, it totally informed the dancing. And then also, like, she just, as Kate herself, the whole day was like, this is crazy, right? She kept taking pictures of herself. She's like, this is insane.
She's insane.
I'm telling you, I haven't had straight hair since I was 12.
Wow. Yeah.
I was like, I know. Like, she was absolutely obsessed with her straight hair.
And it so really, funny. I mean, she is...
It's transformative.
She could have done it without the hair, but I feel like the hair really put her into that fully literally obsessed and can't believe I'm gonna get it. It just was... Yeah. It was that extra push.
Totally.
Wow.
And then Bowen turns to me and he goes, we really are all robots. We all fucking talk
I said,
like
I
that.
Said, I
so
like,
y'all were high.
We were not. We were very sober. But
shockingly.
I was like, yeah, like... We just fucking talk like zombies. That's what this whole thing is. Like,
we have a certain friend that we looked at each other and we're like, that's
yeah.
Like that
was that the oh, actual sure, sure, was sure. that the syllable count?
That was the syllable count.
That's
yeah,
very
actually
bold.
Yeah. Mm. And you know what? They don't listen to
Sleuths
this.
Sleuths get
because who cares? Because
who cares?
Who cares?
Who fucking cares? But it was it's so good.
I'm so glad you'll like it.
You should be so proud.
Thank you. I loved it. Yeah. No, I mean every single episode was great. And also I couldn't believe how dark.
How dark?
Very dark.
Very dark.
I thought watching the first episode, I'm like, oh, we're gonna get a narrative here. Nope. She's gonna find him. No.
But there is a little gentle narrative.
Right.
You know,
and also Kate's character at the end says, you have to hear my new client. She's a genius.
Yes.
So you're supposed to assume that the girl made it, not me.
See, and I was confused about that. I was like, is this a world where gender's not a thing?
Right.
For a moment?
Oh, no. It's that she's that shot of her pushing at the end. It means she survived. And like, you're supposed to assume that somehow she
gets her vengeance.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And there was the other little nexus there for the series.
The tube.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Anyone who's listening who has not watched it, which is 98% of your listeners, it is just so funny to be like, the tube.
It's going to be one of those things that I don't drop. I mean, I think it's legitimately so fucking amazing. Everyone to watch it.
Me too.
And while we're talking about that, okay, so we touched down here and some of our friends told us about this video. They were like, you've seen this, and I was like, no. Freckle's
a genius.
Jason Green discovered this, and I don't think anyone in New York like knew of it.
Yeah,
but it's insane, guys. Look it up. Jason Green, Freckle acting reel.
Yeah.
And then all the Caleb Gallo stuff.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Anyway,
I hung out with Freckle a few times since I moved here, and it's so funny.
It's the best.
Funny.
Yeah.
Extremely funny.
So funny.
Can't let it go. All right, so listen, guys. This is the moment in the episode where we ask of our guest the cultural beginnings of John Early. So what was the culture that made you, young John Early, say, culture's for me?
I want to move in a cultural direction.
Yeah.
Well, it was really like,
Southern boy.
I was a Southern boy in Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Nash. Home of country music, you know?
Yes.
And the show Nashville.
Yes. And the movie Nashville.
Yeah, of course.
What culture? I mean, yeah, like,
it's a broad question. It's tough, but it can...
No, it's very easy for me to answer. I'm honestly just like, where do I start? it was mostly like... You know, it was the Blockbuster trips. It was like my mom dropping me off at Blockbuster as she was grocery shopping, and like going to the Sundance Recommend section, which happened to be very close to like the gay and lesbian section.
Oh.
So that's where I was really going.
So were you looking at them and not renting them, or just seeing like what was out there?
Yeah, I was like looking at the Sundance stuff and then like, you know, darting the eye over to the gay stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, not renting.
Yeah, it's like when you go to Target and look at the underwear.
Yes.
Just like that.
I rented Queer as Folk eventually, but like asked for it in a to-go bag. And then I would get in the car and I'm like, what'd you get? I'd be like, Sense and Sensibility. And then I would watch it with my remote an inch away from the TV. My eyes were this close to the screen in case they came in.
Yeah.
Just so I was like,
on like one volume.
Heard anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that's... But through that kind of, like... I don't know what... I think I was very much, like, trying to be older than I was. Mm-hmm. And I was obsessed with, like, the idea of having good taste and, like... And, like, surpassing my, like, childish peers in their, like, love of, like, Zoog Disney, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I was very, like, annoyingly proud of, like... Oh, I also... My sister had a friend, Jenna, who was so... funny and cool and gorgeous.
Yep.
And like I was, she's my older sister.
Uh-huh.
And I would always just try to impress her and make her laugh. And then she was like, I told her, I was like, I love the movie Clock Watchers with Toni Collette and Lisa Kudrow and Parker Posey. And that movie was the start of like a lot for me.
Yes.
And then she started kind of like, oh, you should see these like Bridget Fonda movies. And like, so there was kind of like, and these Parker Posey movies, like there's kind of like a 90s indie film like with women in the lead.
Yeah, of course.
That was very important to me. That was, but then also just like I watched I Love Lucy constantly.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember like seeing the Spartan Cheerleaders and being like, oh my god, and not knowing what SNL was.
Yeah, right.
I was like nine and be like, who, what is that?
Yeah.
And my parents explaining SNL to me, and then like going back, you know,
watching the generation classics.
Of SNL, yeah. And like finding the women of each generation, right. And yeah. Just becoming obsessed with the women of SNL.
Because for Spartans, I mean, for me, it was, and I'm sure this is what you're alluding to, for me, it was all about Sherry.
It was
completely
all about Sherry. I had like an autographed picture of her. I was so obsessed with Sherry.
Yeah.
Terry.
Oh my God.
Morning Latte is like, Morning Latte is like the foundation of my sense of humor.
That's... It's so funny. Will Ferrell could have been invisible.
He was great. It was,
but he's obviously great. Amazing. Service, totally. But like, it was about her.
Absolutely. Yeah. But 100%. Also, like, it just feels like he's such a good scene partner, too. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
It's so cool that, like, he is such a mega star. But then you go back and watch SNL, and he's, like, such a good supporting player. It's, yeah. Like, her on a gas star, Molly Shannon. There are, like, so many little duo stuff that he does where he, like, takes the back seat.
You forget anyway. That he's the straight man in Celebrity Jeopardy. You know totally. What I mean? Essentially, yeah, it's like, yeah. That's like one of the things he's known for, and you would never associate right. Will Ferrell with like, you know,
straight man.
Solid straight man. Right. But like, he yeah. does that extremely well.
Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah.
Such a good
I was going to say, what emotions get stirred up when I say the name Toni Collette? Because you...
Yeah. It's a deep love.
I really like intense emotions.
Yeah.
Like, I really loved her so much. And... I mean, where do we begin?
The
I
don't, site, she is a gay the icon. Website, the website. She, there yeah, is something she is, about yeah. her that hits on like such a, like an intrinsic level. Because I literally, me, your solo show, you talk about make her proud.
Oh yeah,
and that yeah. is like
it is really gay.
It is gay.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Because it's about dance.
Mm-hmm.
It ultimately tells a queer narrative.
Ultimately tells a queer narrative. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had a teacher in college that was like. We have to talk about The Sixth Sense, and specifically this scene in the car. And Toni Collette got an Oscar nomination.
She did.
And just about, like, that scene in general, yeah. like, being actually what made Sixth Sense a great movie.
Yeah.
to oh, this, well, he was, like, an incredibly gay teacher.
Okay.
Yeah. But so I was like, who yeah, was this it? Is very for you. His name's Paul Selig. Okay. He actually also is a psychic medium.
Wow.
Dramatic writing instructor and psychic medium.
Wow.
Wow.
You can find him online. I recommend you look him up. He literally speaks to them.
Yeah.
Great.
In a tongue.
Yeah.
It's that. But he was very into Toni Collette too.
Yeah.
That's so
and
nice.
Loved that scene. And I was very happy that I was like, yeah, maybe I did make the right choice coming here. They're going to tell me this is right, that I was attracted to this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She just, I don't know. It was really like, it was Clock Watchers and Muriel's Wedding were the two that really, and there's just nothing, there's her performance in Muriel's Wedding is so... undeniably genius.
Yeah.
And like, it's just so good. I named my dog Muriel. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was like, it was an intense. I made her a collage for her birthday that I never sent because I was like, oh wow, no. But I got so I close. Yeah. I was like Googling her managers and like, I mean, well, AltaVista-ing her managers rather.
Sure, sure.
But like, it was, I like made a collage with like pictures of her in like Paper Magazine and then like, and quotes of hers, like, why would anyone want to receive this? But it was like quotes of Tony's, and then there were fun facts about me.
Oh my God.
It was like favorite food, pasta. Favorite movie, Clock Watchers. Like, I mean, it was like, yeah, I was obsessed with her.
Okay, well, reverse
from like
it.
What age?
Age like 10 or 11.
The sweet spot.
Because I saw Clock Watchers because of Kudrow, because I was so obsessed with Romeo and Michelle.
Come on, uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I was like, and then it really was like, I really felt a shift when I watched Clock Watchers. I really was like, you know, I think you can, at some point over time, you can have like a gradual, like intellectual awakening.
Yeah.
Where you go from childhood to like, not everything is good.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. The moment.
Yeah. Or you can have like a very like sharp, clean moment. And I had like a fully clean, like, I was like watching Clock Watchers. I was like, why is this affecting me so intensely?
Wow.
And I was like scream sobbing watching it.
Because
it's so dark.
Oh my goodness.
And it's really gentle and simple, but it is dark.
I've never seen it.
You have to see it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to top my list for me now.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. But I was like, you know, it's like four friends and they're office temps. So they're like, you know, horribly mistreated, but they kind of become really close friends despite that. But then like there are these like off. Oh, I won't tell you. But
okay,
whatever. I'm not gonna tell you. You should
watch
it.
It's like a realer 9 to 5.
Is it a very dramatic movie?
No, I don't know.
Well, it's quietly dramatic. There's no histrionics.
Kudrow's in like, it.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you know it's dark.
Yeah. She could do dark.
No histrionics, but with those actresses, that's great.
Love yeah, it. it's so good. But yeah, I don't know. I think I just forever associated Toni, and she's the main character, uh-huh. and she also kind of like becomes self-actualized throughout the course of the movie. But mm-hmm. she becomes self-actualized, not in some sort of like tropey movie. Like she finally follows her passion of singing. Like she becomes self-actualized because everything falls apart around her, and, like, and it just like sucks. But she's like, well, this is it. This is life. And I just like. Yeah, so I like I think I just felt like I owed Toni like my like awakening.
Wow.
And like yeah, and yeah.
I was going to ask if it gets okay, so reverse the situation of like just imagine someone sending you a collage of you.
Yeah.
In quotes and your quotes and then they list off.
There is some little gay out there that's putting it together.
I hope so.
Okay, so then that would so you would receive that positively. Absolutely. And accept it.
Totally. I know, so. But I think I just was like so embarrassed.
Oh yeah,
I don't know why.
Was there a closet element to that? Of the
well, definitely. 100%.
Yeah, there you go.
And I had the webs. I made a website for her, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. like I was like telling my teachers about the website. I was telling all my friends. And yeah. then I realized I was gay, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, this is why.
I was like, there's a website. I was like, I literally like I'm out. Essentially,
was
like,
that the moment? Was there a moment where you visually remember, like, oh, I'm gay?
Well, not because of the website. I just was like,
yeah,
there's like literal proof on the internet that
this
I'm
is how
gay.
Far
it's
it goes.
The Toni Collette website.
Yeah.
It's like, mm-hmm. there's no hiding it now. And yeah. it's my own fault.
Totally.
100%. I mean, I remember getting asked, like, when, like, first day of school type questions, like, everyone put your favorite food, this, favorite actress, favorite whatever, favorite this. It was probably 2001. I was like, of course I'm going to put Nicole Kidman. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Moulin Rouge yeah. and the others and just the versatility.
Yeah.
But everyone was like, well, who are you going to put down? And I was like, I can't. I knew it was wrong to yeah. say Nicole Kidman and Moulin Rouge. So I ended up putting Tara Reid. And I walked around for quite a while saying Tara Reid was my favorite guilt. Actress.
Oh my
and then
God.
I remember my Spanish teacher turned to me one day and was like, so Tara Reid, like, what's this about? And I just said, oh, I saw her on a website. And then she was like, cool. And I was like, ew, I just literally said like the straight thing
yeah.
that I thought I was supposed to say, and it was gross.
Oh my God.
I was like, I should have just fucking said Nicole Kidman. Mm. I also used to lie and say I loved Limp Bizkit.
Well, I was baptized by the bassist in Limp Bizkit's father.
So I'm sorry if you're listening.
Wow.
Tom Borland.
Yeah, but I kept thinking to myself, like, I was like thinking back, did anyone actually like Limp Bizkit?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I guess they must have.
People definitely like Limp Bizkit, okay?
Okay, you're right. I also had a babysitter that I thought was cool. It was kind of like your sister's friend. Her name yeah. was Mickey. Her name was Michelle, but everyone called her Mickey. Mm. So there you go. Mm-hmm. And she loves Creed.
Yeah.
And so I bought several Creed albums.
Yeah.
And uh-huh. then I still owned them years later when it was like, Creed? When they were like a full punchline.
Wow, sisters?
I'm huge. It's huge.
Sisters are huge.
Sisters are huge. And sisters' friends are huge, especially...
Yeah. If they're older.
Older teenage girls who are cool and funny and yeah. pretty. Yeah, it's a thing.
And not to, like, bring this into it, but, like, for immigrants, like, families,
mm-hmm.
older sisters who had, like, essentially white friends who, like, were tapped yeah. into that. Because that was, like, the funnel for me was, like, okay, this is the source and it's all coming down to like this yeah. very specific upbringing I have. But anyway, oh my God.
I'm dying to know about that.
I don't, well, it was just like the first time I ever heard about fucking like Mandy Moore.
Yeah.
Was like through like, was like
white friends.
White friends, like peripherally white female friends that I could only, that I could only befriend through my sister. Yeah.
Yep.
And so that was it. So yeah, I mean, the paths are all different, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ideal, it's like when I first saw Alicia Silverstone, it was like, I need to know everything.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like, can someone explain everything?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So there is that. Yeah, I mean, that's one I wish would just be everywhere still. And I what's know. The movie she's going to be in coming up? Like, it's like...
Oh, it's she's like a mom.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, too?
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, too.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah,
for
hell yeah.
She's booking.
You know, there was a movie that came out a couple years ago with her and I think Kristen Ritter that Amy Heckerling directed. It was called Vamps.
Oh, and Kristen Johnson's in it.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Great.
Yeah. Did you see it?
I didn't see it, no.
I didn't see it either.
And I was like, I remember hearing hearing that it was going to be a thing, and then I was like, oh, well, that'll be big.
Yeah, me
because
too.
Amy Heckerling and Alicia Silverstone, that'll be a big deal that they get back together. And then I don't know, I guess whoever just decided they weren't going to, it just never became a story, and I guess it just didn't get enough publicity for people to come out and see it. So
I feel like it didn't even come out.
Oh no.
Yeah. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it went straight to home video or straight to the web or wherever things go now.
VOD.
VOD, baby.
Well, you know what? Alicia's fine. Amy's fine.
You know what? There's a new movie with Anne Heche and Sandra Oh.
Oh, called Cat Fight.
Yeah, with them beating the shit out of each other the whole
movie.
Did
you see it?
No, have you seen it?
Have you seen it?
I walked out.
What? Really?
I was so excited.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be great.
It should have been. I love those two actresses so much.
Come on.
It is written by an idiot. It's just not. It's like the dialogue was horrendous. I could not believe it. The production design, it's not just like it's low budget. Like, I could make it look so much better blindfolded. Like, it was so. I don't know. It was very disappointing seeing extremely good actresses have to say such shitty lines. And I was I was so down for it to be not great.
For them
to just get to do something juicy and beat each other up. Right. I didn't get that far because I immediately had such a bad feeling about it.
Was it offensive or was just bad? Just bad.
No, it was just bad. It was watching a Paul Verhoeven thing, but with less skill. It's a director who's like, and you two, you hate each other, but you love each other. Like, you could just feel a straight man, pitting women against each other. It was stupid.
Well, that guy, the director.
I don't know what else he's done.
But he's apparently this huge dirtbag.
He was
on Doug Loves Movies.
Yeah.
With Anne Heche and Sandra Oh. And the last time he was on the show was plugging some other film and he just got shit-faced and was belligerent and tried to get in a fight with fucking Doug.
Doug.
And then
he got kicked out. And so they came out on again to promote this movie, the three of them.
Yeah.
And it ended up with the director and Anne Heche getting kicked out again because it was
she was
on edge about the way he had been treated last time, and that was kind of clear, and she was very defensive from the beginning. I actually listened to it, and Sandra's kind of sitting there quietly the whole time, behaving and there to promote the movie.
Yeah.
And they had made such a spectacle.
Yeah.
The director gets kicked out almost immediately.
Yeah.
And then Anne Heche is kind of just being a jerk.
She's being a jerk, and she's trying to turn herself on and she's trying to do bits and stuff, but she fails catastrophically. But meanwhile, Sandra Oh is charming and great and nice and
they get kicked off her. And then they're like, he's kind of like, well, so what's up? And she's like, look, I just want to talk about the movie. I'm excited about the movie. Let's just talk about it. And then they had a great interview, just the two of them.
Yeah.
Sandra's clean.
Good promotion.
Honestly, It made me watch the trailer. I hadn't heard about it before.
Yeah.
You know what? You got to get out there and you got to get that trailer on people's screens.
You really do.
If it means fighting publicly on podcasts. So we should start a fight.
Yeah. We should start a fight on the pod to promote. Are you shooting Search Party in New York? Oh, great.
I'm coming right back.
You're coming right back. Yeah. I said off the air before we started, John is the prodigal son of New York coming to do his Bellhouse show. I'm so excited. Are tickets on sale?
For Bell House?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Cool. As of today.
Great. Get your tickets.
Oh, as of today. Even. As of today.
Which I don't know what today means in podcast world.
Well, you know, they'll have been on sale if you're listening
now.
They will
have been on sale.
So get them now before they're
sold out.
You never know what happens.
I love the show too. The Search Party.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm obsessed with Meredith.
She's so good.
Yeah, she's really great.
She's so special.
What's her story? Was she not a comedic actress before this? Or, I mean, what's her deal?
Yeah, no, she's a proper actress. She is a North Carolina girl.
Mm-hmm.
But she did, did soap opera. She, moved to New York at, 19 and was, I think, maybe As the World Turns. I'm not sure.
Yeah, one of them.
But she did a soap opera for a really long time. She has this amazing story about, she got nominated for a Daytime Emmy.
Oh, hell yeah.
And she, she didn't know that you could choose your clip, that they show when they're announcing the nominees.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
So, they're doing all the nominees and everyone's is, super, eyes full of tears, really dramatic scenes. And then, it got to hers and she literally was just, she's like, Mom, I want to have sex. And she was like 24 playing a like 17-year-old.
Yeah. And
anyway, but yeah, she's really done, like, she used to like do musicals, I think, or she would audition for musicals. She's like a proper like hit the pavement New York actor girl.
Yeah.
And like, it's all worked out because she really is. I just can't wait for people to cast her in like beautiful romantic comedies.
Oh yeah,
she can do so much more, but I just feel like she is so charming and magnetic, and like Meg Ryan.
Yeah, she would excel in that.
We need the medium. We need Meg.
We do need.
We
Meg.
Need the new that Meg type.
We need Meg.
If you think about it, who is out there that's doing the romantic comedies? Because I miss going to see romantic comedies. I love a good solid rom com.
Me too.
And then I guess there was Katherine Heigl there for a few years, and then that, for whatever reason, didn't pan out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now there's really,
didn't pan am.
And now there's like the Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock. That,
well, yeah, Sandra Bullock. Yeah, oh, proposal yeah, was yeah, not yeah. too, uh-huh. not too long ago.
Not too long ago.
I think the proposal was longer ago.
Was it, okay, you know what? Was it like 2006?
2009, 2009.
You know what? 07? I think I saw it when I was, it was the same year as Blindside.
Oh,
I know that for a fact.
Are you sure?
Because she was, and this is like, I'm a little bit of an awards gay.
Yeah.
So she was nominated two times in a year, and a proposal, and I think The Blind Side, and she walked away with the Globe for the best actress in the drama one.
The Globe.
Which also, now
and the Oscar.
And the Oscar and eventually, yes.
That's what you're saying.
You know, and I will bravely say that was Gabourey Sidibe's Oscar.
Absolutely. Okay. Of course.
You disagree, though.
I don't have an opinion. That was a pretty boring best actress year.
That was Carey Mulligan.
Yeah,
for an education. Oh my God! What? Wait, who else?
That was Gabourey, Carey Mulligan,
fill it out.
Sandra Bullock, Meryl Streep
for
Julie and Julia.
I'm asleep. Okay,
I know. And then there was one more, and I cannot possibly remember who it was.
Brett, can we look it up?
Can we guess it?
Okay,
imagine if Brett just turned around and knew it.
I'd
be like, okay, well, you're my fave now.
We were talking about Feud earlier, and I was like, I didn't know who Hedda Hopper was until the show. And Brett's like, oh, I knew about Hedda and Luann and Luella.
Luella Parsons.
Luella Parsons. And I was like, God.
Original gossip divas.
Brett's
but
a better
what,
than
what
I am.
Drives me nuts is when you say that they're allowed to pick their clip. Because my least favorite thing is when the clip show and they cut to the actor and they make this face like, oh God, can you believe how awful I am? Jesus. I'm so embarrassed. I'm humble. I'm really a humble person.
But it's that's at least better than like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right.
Which
you're right.
The listeners can't see, but I was doing a stoic, like,
Melissa George.
Well, just complete. Yeah.
Melissa George.
Melissa George. No, Leo. Leo.
Melissa
that's
Leo.
What I meant.
Melissa George
is a different actress. I know.
The best.
I'm so sorry.
Well, when Tony was nominated, her clip was the car scene,
of
but
course.
They didn't use any of the dialogue. It was just her tearing up.
Oh.
So it was Haley Joel Osment talking, and she was like, and then it cut to her, and she was with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and she was like so embarrassed and hilariously embarrassed.
Yeah.
She was being funny about it. But that year, that's
Jolie.
The only, I know that category so well because I was her manager at that point.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so it was like, it was her in Sixth Sense, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, right.
Girl Interrupted. Can you fill it out? Can you give a
Was there a Joan Allen? Was she nominated? No, is that wrong?
Let's see if it gets there. I'm pretty sure I know all of them. I don't think it was Joan Allen. She may have been nominated for The Contender.
Wait. Was there Vanessa Redgrave in there or Lynn Redgrave? Okay, this is not a year I know as
well. I'll give you a couple more and see if you can. Okay, Catherine Keener being John Malkovich.
Yeah, okay, yes. Yeah, which, that nomination blows my mind in the best way.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's she's so amazing.
Yep.
Samantha Morton,
Sweet and Low Down. Okay.
And finally, oh my God, it's so incredible, the fifth one.
Wait, what?
Chloe Sevigny, Boys Don't Cry.
Oh, yes. Okay, wow. That might be my favorite category ever.
But that's Best Supporting.
It was Best Supporting Actress, which is always my favorite category.
Of course,
Best Supporting Actress is where it's at for me.
Wow. Yeah.
Couldn't give a shit less about Best Supporting Actor.
Y'all, one thing about this LA trip that's really like stuck to me is I was over at a friend's house. And there was just a bunch of fun little showbiz gays.
Here we go.
The thing that they do is they whip out the Heads Up on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a deck that's just Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress winners. And I was just, like, out of my element.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, and I, you know what? I've accepted this on this trip. And it's a beautiful part of my journey. I was like, I'm never going to be that gay
that knows.
But that's fine.
That's so fine.
It's fine. And it's...
Okay.
Oh my God. Here we go. Oh,
who was it? Helen Mirren, The Last Station. That's the one we mixed. Which, honestly, like this podcast, who fucking cares?
I know. Listen, I've been. I have the DVD to The Last Station. I've never seen it.
What's it about?
I have no idea. But I was like at. I was like. With an old teacher from NYU, I was like at her apartment one time, and then I was like, oh, The Last Station, and she's like, do you want to borrow it? And I literally just like was so I cared about her opinion way too much. She'd be like, no, because I absolutely didn't want to borrow it, and I've had it for now like 8 years, and I've never seen it.
Wow. Well, hey,
I'm scrolling through this now, just looking at who's won, and I guess they ordinarily get it right.
Wait,
I mean,
what category? It was Gabourey, Precious.
Gabourey, Precious, I thought, Helen. See, my thing is, when it comes to Oscars, it's like, did you give the performance that no one else could give? It's like, that's kind of my, it's like, did you put your individual unique stamp on this, and that makes it worthy of really raising up and saying, everyone should see this?
Yeah.
And for me, like, Gabourey and Precious, that was like a very special thing.
Yes.
And Sandra Bullock, you know, you can cast 1,000 actresses in that part, and they do exactly that, because all you really have to be is an actress to do it. I mean, and not saying that Sandra isn't amazing. I think she's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes, like, I get that it's an industry thing, and it's a show, and it's entertainment.
Well, also just, like, politically, like, give it to Gabby.
Give it to Gabby.
You know, like, make give a fucking statement. Like,
and with that criterion of just if no one else can, if you're the only person who could play this role, or that's what you're saying, if you left your individual stamp on this role, I would say Gabby too.
Yeah.
Because who else would have played Precious that?
I mean, and I just, there, well, first of all, there is no one that we know. I mean, it announced, and she's actually had a good career.
Yeah,
she's done lots of great stuff.
She keeps it going.
Mm-hmm. She's been amazing. And the thing is, like, I even thought last year, like, when they said Emma Stone was going to win an Oscar for La La Land, which they said like 8 months before, like, and it screened at some festival, and they were like, it'll be hard to beat her for the Oscar. In fact, I think, our industry's already decided. That's the way it's like, going to go.
That means you have the best publicist in.
Right.
You're paying like $8,000 a month, at least, for a publicist, if that's happening.
I'm sure that's how it works. But then it's just like, you know, months later, they're like, by the way, Annette Bening is in a movie that's fucking amazing. And it's oh, but we already decided it's going to be Emma.
She was so good, Annette.
No, yeah.
And nothing against, I actually, like, I come to Emma Stone's defense a lot. I thought she was great.
I mean, she's one of your closest friends.
She's definitely, we're very close. We, of course, we briefly met on Stone Street when I was working in a bar called Ulysses, and she was filming The Amazing Spider-Man outside on the street, and she came in to use the bathroom, and I pointed her in the direction. Ever since then, it's just been a magical carousel.
Amazing.
No, but I thought she was good in the movie, and people came for her singing. I was like, yeah, but
it's not
who can sing,
who
really?
Yeah.
Who can sing, really? Anna Kendrick? Would you rather Anna Kendrick?
No.
No, the answer is no.
By the way, okay, I know what my thing is for the end.
Okay. Oh, wow.
It rhymes with Shmana Pendrick.
Shmana Pendrick.
No, I mean,
Okay, well, we have that to anticipate. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the John.
I'm going to pee.
Go pee.
Yeah, it has to happen. So I'm here to tell you about the fantasy that is the Casper mattress. I've discussed how, you know, when my boyfriend and I were without a home, our friend Patrick allowed us the opportunity to lay on a Casper mattress, and it was a life well slept,
and
in fact,
he had that Casper mattress, and he knew it was a status symbol, and he said, you can sleep on this mattress.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He wanted me to know he had the best mattress in town. The Casper mattress, now, there's a deal for you guys. So here we go here. It's $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com. And it's two types of technologies here. It's latex foam and memory foam. We say latex memories. We all have them.
We all have them. And you guys, we have a special guest here with us to help us shill for Casper.
Yeah, maybe someone with some latex memories of his own.
Now, do I have to enter a code to receive my discount?
You don't have to enter a code, but you do have to go to a specific URL. Matt, tell them what it is.
Well, it's CasperTrial.com/LostCulturistas. Now, John Early, what's your experience with Casper?
I'll tell you all what. I have a herniated disc.
Okay.
Mattress shopping is very important to me. Now, I had the surgery.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, good.
But it's not something I like to around with.
No, you can't.
No.
So I can't play. So I need to know my mattress is a certain level of firmness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah.
And that is it. The Casper.
And that's the Casper
and
mattress.
That's the Casper.
And you would say you feel your fantasy on a Casper mattress?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There confirmed.
Confirmed, honey.
Confirmed fantasy felt. So one more time, because why not? I mean, you might not have been listening because you're an idiot.
It's CasperTrial.com/LasCulturistas for $50 off towards any mattress purchase, honey.
Okay. That's enough.
And we're back with John Early.
Yes. Hey, guys.
Oh, man.
Some huge news just broke over the break.
Yeah.
Broke over the break.
Yeah.
John just got the RuPaul follow on Twitter.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so
first
much.
First of all.
Thank you.
Second of all, spill the tea. What was he like on set? John and Ru share a moment on the season's Animals on HBO. Yeah. Tell us everything.
Discuss.
It's a live action episode of a typically animated series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very
innovative.
Yes. It's very the tone of this episode is very like kind of like Scooby-Doo, like evil scientist. Uh-huh. Like and so RuPaul plays this like evil scientist who's developing this like pill for civilization.
I love it.
And I am his like assistant.
Oh,
just,
my
like,
god.
Like nervous gay assistant. Who also might have some evil motivations of his own.
Oh, I see. Ooh, the juice.
I feel like when you talk about RuPaul, you always want him to be like this like person on set giving out sage advice and like really talking. And was it that, or was he just like, oh yeah, that's a person?
Yeah.
Like,
no, he's 100% the giving the sage of advice. There are like moments where I like overhear Ru being like, I'm a medium. And when I'm on a train in New York City, I pick up people's energies. And if someone's in pain, I feel that pain. You know,
He's an empath.
He's an empath.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous. I mean, I'm typically very good around my heroes. Uh-huh. Like, I'm good at just kind of being very transparently a fan of them. Like, I think it's the better approach to be like, you know, I worship you, rather than being like coy and I was very nervous around him, and like the first moment of shooting, I immediately, like I did on this podcast, I immediately made it about weight.
In what way? Like, how so? Like, what'd you do?
Well, because I like, there's like an issue with my costume or something where like the wrong size suit was like brought to set or something, and I was like, I was like popping out of it, and I was like, and it just made me feel insecure, and I'm like,
right.
And so like the first moment with RuPaul, I was like, oh no. I just, it's sort of like vomiting out of me. I was like, well, first of all, I'm a cow. I was like, you're a legume. I was like, you're a string bean. He goes, I do not need your life story.
In like a shady way or what?
Well, no,
like,
in a very funny way.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, he was absolutely sensing that I was just like talking out of my ass.
Oh.
And it was so stupid. So that was so hilarious. And then like, so then of course I was like wildly intimidated. Like, John, please calm down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, on a break or something, he was like, where are you from? And I was like, Nashville. And we started talking about country music.
Uh-huh.
And he knows like every Mandrell sister, you know, like he's so well-versed.
He loves the Mandrell sisters. Yes. Like, he throws that reference out all the time on Drag Race.
Yeah. Okay. And so we talked about country, and then, you know, he was like, now what's happening, John? Is it happening for you? Like, are you auditioning or whatever? And I was like, I'm going to be honest with you, RuPaul. I was like, it's happening.
Yeah. Great. That's
like,
the
I was like, I'm
to
not
going to
be modest. I was like, it is popping.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he loved that. He was like, dying laughing at that. So that was good. That was when I kind of broke through. And then, you know, and then we spent 2 days together, like shooting the stuff. And it was very, then he was like, at one point, he was like, what's your favorite movie? And I was like, oh God, like, it's such a dream to be talking about movies at all with RuPaul. I was like, and I kind of got in my head. I was like, no, I don't know. He's like, there are so many. He's like, I do not need your life story. And then he was like, and then I was like, Clock Watchers.
Yeah.
And then he was like, cackling at the fact that I liked Clock Watchers.
Oh my God.
And then I started telling about Tony and I did, like, we started talking about just like, I was like, you know, I was like, it's so funny to me when people talk about their influences. Like, when I think about like actors talking about their influences, it's always like Al Pacino, you know? And I was like, but it's literally, it's like Toni Collette in like About a Boy. It's like it's like, like, meaning I'm doing moment for moment Toni in certain things. Yes. Like I can feel myself physically, like just facially doing Toni. Like uh-huh. that's what I associate with like dramatic scenes or something. And because she's like all I've really exposed myself to, like dramatically. Because yes. everything else wow. is like I'm obsessed with comedians, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So and he was like, I see Toni and what you're doing. I see that. And then I was like, and then he was like, I'm doing purely Faye today. And we started talking about Faye Dunaway.
Uh-huh.
And,
oh wow.
And you know, we talked about what he's doing on Drag Race, like reference wise. Yep, and like yep. it was just really fun. So, like, and he was like, you know, we were talking about like people, you know, like it's so fun to like diagnose who people's influences are. He was like, you know what Cher is doing, like. And I was like, who? And he's like, Elvis. I was like, that's so genius. It's so true.
Yeah, yeah,
so we had
yeah.
we had a lot of fun kind of doing like reference lineage together. And then we were talking about Faye Dunaway. I was talking about this interview that with Faye Dunaway where she's like on a bed and it's like in Cannes. It's like probably the early 80s, late 70s. And she's like, she's smoking a cigarette. It's like a 10-minute interview. And she's like, she keeps trying to prove that she knows French. Because the interviewer is French, so she'll say things like, she'll be like, sorry, can you close the door? Ferme la porte. Yeah. And like, and there's one part where she says literally just avec, which is with. She's like, I mean, I don't even know what the sentence is, but she's like, I did this one movie with avec. She literally says with and then throws in avec.
One other with.
Like as if they needed that.
Because she knows two words. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with avec. It's so genius. But I was telling Rue about that and he was like dying. And then, so I was like, oh, I have to get him that link, you know. Yeah. And then, and then when it was over, like he walked by.
Oh no! Oh my God!
When I was leaving, he was like John. He was like 40 feet away. He was like, email me at. You know, and like, and we'll get lunch in New York City. You know, and then, and oh by the way, God. That email doesn't work. I shouldn't have said that.
Not his email,
but because I did, I went and I sent the email last. I sent right. the email. Oh my God! Bounce you should back. Bleep it out.
We'll bleep it. We'll bleep
Just
it
bleep
out.
It
we'll
out.
Bleep yeah. it out. It's no big deal.
Thank you. Okay. But I emailed the email with the Faye Dunaway link. I was like, such a dream working with you, yeah. like true hero, and you know, and then immediately bounced back. But I don't think it was intentional.
Sure.
Obviously, I think he was being very generous and very sweet. But it is funny. I just don't know the proper email.
Well, hey, but no, you really just connected with him though, despite whatever, yeah. despite. That email situation.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's
the... I love hearing that he's a great guy because I feel like so often now as you know, friends and like, you know, you just get to know people in the industry more. It's so often so disappointing. And for someone like RuPaul, that would be really crushing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that would be too much.
No, he was so... He's very powerful. Like, and he was on like a set with like, a lot of like people were really being respectful of him and like they knew that this was like a big day that they were going to work with RuPaul, you know, but it still was like it's a pretty straight show, like it's like a comedy like hetero show, so there was something interesting about like RuPaul in that environment, like where I was like, do people fully understand like how this special is? This is because you know so many people don't think of people always refer like, or I feel like people think like gay culture is low culture.
So
it's like it's interesting.
Like this is a person that's entirely an icon in a real way. You're an icon the way you throw it around, like that's he's the real legend.
Yeah, and very intelligent and like has through just like decades of being a public figure has a kind of developed a philosophy, you know, that's like very helpful to people, you know. Anyway, but it was interesting. He's very powerful and intimidating, but like he's also very like he was extremely curious and like we just talked a lot. Like it was so nice that he was like willing to in like the downtime, like the fact that he was like just totally down to like dissect Faye Dunaway, you know. It's like it's so on the nose, but it was so fun.
Yeah, no, it's great.
But also like I forgot to tell you this, when we would have like long breaks and we'd go back into holding, he had his own, we were like shooting in this weird like space, like a studio where like they do like procedurals and stuff. So it was like holding was like in a fake courtroom, and he had his own like his own little dressing room that was like a judge's office or something. But because it's a studio, there's no ceiling, so you can hear everything like that's going on in the other rooms. And on every single break, he watches the Golden Girls.
That is perfect.
It's, yeah. Well, and I've heard anecdotes about it being Judge Judy on some days, it being Golden Girls on other days, and now I think he's on this 30 Rock kick.
Oh, that's what I'm on right
talking
now.
Talking about nonstop. Oh, you're just watching. Yeah,
I'm. It's so deeply comforting.
It's my go-to.
It's so good.
Oh my god, I remember you posted.
It's so reliable.
I remember you posted like a few months ago, just from the pilot episode when Jenna. We're on the yacht, just Jenna, just
it's the funniest thing.
Into song.
But
just singing. So yeah. Oh my god.
Do you watch Veep?
I don't watch Veep.
It's the next
I
one
need
for you,
to watch Veep.
Yeah, I
gotta do it.
You
I
gotta
can't
do
wait
it.
To watch
and are
it.
You up on this season of Drag Race?
No, I haven't watched the season.
Well, speaking of Drag Race and speaking of Ru, we've like it's been well documented on this podcast, like what our like what Ru means to us. Like this is sort of a broad question, but like just what does Ru mean to you? Like with your, I guess like upbringing, just because like we've talked a lot about Ru's philosophies remaining consistent over. Years
he and can like, really release you.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, for example, like in stuff that I do, I feel like this is bizarre, but a lot of people agree with me about this. It's like the kind of like don't give a fuck, like truly don't take your life too seriously. There's something about when RuPaul said it, and just all these mantras that I was given. It's this is like insane, but we talked about this with Nicole Silverberg. It's the closest I've felt to ever like feeling like I had like. Not a religion, but something to go by.
Yeah. Totally.
Whereas I could, there are things I can say and like, remember that. Remember when you wake up in the morning, like be a light, Henry says all the time. So like, I mean, I feel like, and that can really set you free in your work too. Like in the way you perform, in the way you write.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel, I guess the question is, do you feel that way about RuPaul? Like, has RuPaul like guided you in some way?
Yeah, in some ways. Like, I mean, well, when I was little, I was so one of, to go back to the literal very first question of the podcast, like the Brady Bunch movie was so important to me.
Huge. Oh,
and him, his scene as Miss Cummings, the like therapist,
the, yeah,
in
the
school,
guidance counselor,
with Jan was like so monumental. And I was like, something is happening here that's like very deeply smart and like satirical, but there's also a real sweetness to it because it's like the way that that movie positioned Jan as like a gay icon and she is like the heart of that movie. She's like the climax of the movie is her running away and the whole family like going to get her and like and there's all that stuff about it's the new Jan Brady and her putting on like the Afro wig dance and then like being on the streets of LA. Like it's just I don't know, that was and there's something about RuPaul being the guidance counselor that I feel like is just so like divinely placed. It's like it's very special and sweet, and so I was always in love with that scene and always like transfixed by RuPaul and was obsessed with, you know, supermodel and whatever. And I loved her VH1 talk show too. It was just such a nice moment.
Her in the sequel of Brady Bunch too, when they run into her at the pool, and her two daughters are there. Moesha.
So funny.
Just that she had daughters.
I know.
Like,
it's so great.
Also for RuPaul to be the guidance counselor, and now she truly is the guidance counselor and like mother of so many people.
John mentioned just over the break that you guys shot that for the animals 2 days before the election.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My god. So then you just like blocked that out from your
memory. It just literally disappeared. And then in the past couple weeks when I was like, oh, it's coming out, it's like that was very special. It was a nice couple days. But yeah.
When we felt so confident.
Yeah.
Just thank me for
bringing
up the election.
Yeah, thanks, Bowen. You said something before that actually I didn't realize about myself too, but when people ask about comedic influences, I can very rarely really articulate what they are, but I can name like dramatic influences that affected me comedically.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that's
totally.
Very much a thing. I think maybe
for a lot of
gays.
Yeah, totally.
That's very real, and I'm not surprised that you can pull from Tony in like your comedy.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But when you say that you can't name a specific comedic influence, is that because it's like it just
maybe it's a thing of being truly because when I was having them when I was in high school, I was so aware that they were gay and I needed to keep them a secret. Like I couldn't just say like, oh, Sandra Bernhardt and all her albums. You know what I mean? That wasn't something I could just toss out. It was like, oh, everyone's saying The Simpsons. Okay, cool. The Simpsons. I never watched The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I recently saw Sandra Bernhardt on the subway, and I had the moment where I was like, "Am I gonna tell her what she means to me?" I was like, "She doesn't want to be like bothered, I don't think."
Yeah, it's
It's hard.
You didn't do it.
I didn't because I mean, maybe if it was a situation where I was working with them, I would tell people what they meant to me or something. And
no, that's fair.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, but also, I did something with Jerry Seinfeld years ago.
Oh, sure.
And it was more about, like,
I feel like I remember this.
It was Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I was on I was on two episodes of it, and I was playing with, it was so insane. It was Jerry and Kramer. It was Michael Richards and Jerry Seinfeld, and I was, like, playing the assistant, and I was, like, watching them go back and forth, and I'm like, this right here is, like, something else. And then at the end, it just kind of came out of my mouth. I was like, you know, my parents will kill me if I don't get a picture. And I didn't mean to say, but that's genuinely what it is.
That's kind of
a good
way to frame, to approach that. I think that's
smart. I just remember being 5 years old and, like, listening to, like, from the next room, like, hearing my parents laugh at that and whatever. And then really, I didn't work with, but I was very intimidated by him. I think because he felt like another generation. And then I did a very short thing with Lena Dunham, and it was, like, very casual. And I was like, see, this maybe it's because she was closer to my age. But I didn't feel like the need of, like, I need to be very nervous or anything like that. Maybe that's just getting older.
Jerry didn't shake her hand.
He didn't shake my hand.
Whoa.
Am I allowed to share?
Yeah, it's fine.
Did you...
I was like, hey, he actually cast me. So he was in the casting room. And then he offered his hand. Oh, no, I offered my hand. I was like, thank you so much. And he was like, I don't really, I'm sick.
Germaphobe.
It was as if he was making an excuse. I was like, oh, that's fine. And he's like, this is my writing partner. Went to shake his hand. Same, I don't. I was like, really? Neither of you gonna shake my hand? I was like, okay.
Writing partner so shake funny. Your hand.
It just felt like, okay, cool, great. Oh, these people don't shake hands. Yeah. And then with Lena Dunham, it's like a hug.
It's like,
and she's like, I'm a huge fan. I'm like, you're not, but like, you know, you're not. But it's very nice of you to say.
That is so funny.
Speaking of, you guys, girls came to an end last night.
We ran into John at a bar a couple days ago, and then John was like, what's the theme for the app? And then I just said, girls, and then you just laughed. You're like, yeah, whatever. Oh, my God. Girls.
Fun, though.
Fun. It was...
I didn't watch it.
It's fine. Okay. It was good.
It was very... I mean, I actually was pretty satisfied with the way that it ended.
Ooh.
But I'm going to love it anyway, because I also know that a large part of it is, like, it's not going to satisfy everything that you want. It's like with the end of every show. Not every finale is going to be Big Little Lies, people.
Oh, right.
Universally perfect.
I know. It's amazing how they did that. They really pulled it off. It's so satisfying.
Were you loving it the whole time?
The whole time.
Yeah, me too. From the second it started.
I mean, I was completely on board. There were things that, like, major red flags that, like, if they weren't within something that was so great, I would probably be upset about.
What do you think of the Greek chorus? Like, the
well,
sort
that's exactly it. Like, that's something that, like, I should have been so annoyed by. Mm-hmm. Of, like, Madeline, let's just say she didn't, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, but I didn't care. Like, I was totally on board for that. And then, like the lip syncing is absolutely unforgivable.
It's so insane.
It's not okay. It's a horrible choice. It's a horrible choice. And Zoe Kravitz should not have sung that well or, like, as comfortably as she sang. It's like, it would have been so much more interesting if all three of them who sang actually did it. I mean, Zoe did it.
Yeah, that was her.
The men did not. But if they had actually done it, I'm not saying this was their choice, by the way, because I know Adam Scott's listening. he's obsessed with me. But those people, like, the fact that who were the people they hired to sing for the men? Because that was humiliating, and HBO should be ashamed of themselves.
It was weird. Also, like, I did read the novel, and it's a full departure from the novel. They called it Trivia Night in the show all year. And the fact that then they were all working on their Elvis impressions and were going to perform, I was like, is this a joke that the show is making? It really... But in the book, they literally do a Trivia Night.
Oh, yeah.
With trivia.
With trivia.
They've never changed it or something.
And they talk about how, you know, Jane's really good at trivia. We're lucky she's on our team. And Perry apparently is good at trivia in the book. But then in the show, they call it Trivia Night all series,
and there's no trivia.
And then there's, like, these weird performances which do not happen in the book and don't need to happen in the show, which makes me think, was it a thing where it was just specifically to showcase Zoe Kravitz singing?
Interesting. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I liked the idea of, like, seeing parents out of their comfort zones performing, but, like, that then the second they started singing, they completely abandoned that because their voices were like uniformly beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And were like the voices of someone who's been singing on the road for 35 years. Like,
yeah.
What, like you could have either had Adam Scott and what's his face? Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, not I.
Yeah. Love Adam, but that other guy. Whoa. No. First of all,
who?
Slow down.
Yeah.
He talked so fast.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every scene, yeah. I was like, I don't know what he's saying.
Wow, I didn't even think you're right.
Way too fast. It also right, might right. be an accent thing. I think he might not be an American.
Oh, sure.
Which were you hearing, I have a problem with, honey.
Were you hearing Nicole's Australian accent?
Yeah, but you always do a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
She does. I'd rather.
She lets it slip during those dramatic things. I mean, especially in the car scene in the finale, she let it slip.
Definitely. I'd rather have what Nicole has than what Kate Winslet does, which is, I'm American.
Right.
I'm speaking in this way.
Ours.
In Revolutionary Road, it was very over the top. Yeah. But yeah, Nicole, I could kind of hear the lilt, and I think when people were like, oh yeah, the therapy scenes are so relatable, my Australian accent always slips out when I'm in therapy. Yeah. I was like,
literally know what tweet you're referring to.
Hi, Joel.
Oh,
is this Joel?
Well, it wasn't Joel. It was Joe Castle Baker. But Joel probably did tweet about that bitch.
By the way, I meant Joe.
And you're hiding Joel.
Joel flew out.
There you go.
Yeah, honestly, yes, of course.
I did like that tweet.
It was a good one, but I, in my like gay impulse of like my 11-year-old who feels like he can't say Nicole Kidman and Moulin Rouge, was like, what the fuck are you talking about? She's perfect.
Yeah. Did you get a little tiff?
Sure. No, not at all. Okay. I stayed clear away from that one.
Oh my God.
No, what am I going to do? Like defend Nicole Kidman's honor on Facebook?
Destroy your friendship with Joe.
There's been some annoying call out posts, haven't they? Of late.
Oh, sure. Some New York specific stuff. You don't have to worry about it, okay. John.
Yeah, things are different for me here.
Garbage. I mean, there's a lot more sunlight. There's a lot more happiness out here. A lot more interest in exercise. Mm. Yeah.
Can I just say that my favorite, the single funniest performance in Big Little Lies was the therapist,
Robin Weiger,
because her just like her absolute stillness.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like the more the stakes rose, the more she was like elongated spine, and her head was like slightly turned,
mm-hmm.
and like it was like when she was like, leave him. Yeah. I wish your listeners could see me because I'm doing it perfectly.
You are doing it perfectly.
It's like it's just she's like just go. Find a place and don't.
Your lawyer.
Like it's so funny, and it's like, and you can see her mourning of. You can see her like with her husband, being like, "It's Nicole today. It's a Nicole day."
Well, listen, she played a fucking statue in Angels in America,
and she was Calamity Jane in Deadwood.
Right. I went to her website.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing.
Oh, and wait.
It's just like it was designed by someone who went to like Nosy College of Art in Tennessee. Sorry, that's such a strange reference, but it's tough.
Oh wow!
But it's just someone who's just like it's not her fault. It's just like the time of her being like, oh, I should. A manager was probably, you should get a website.
Yeah.
And it was like 2002.
Sure.
And it's like, it's so funny.
And it's been left untouched since then.
Yeah, it's been untouched since like probably 2008.
Her biggest credit is her like two episodes on Lost.
Was she on Lost?
Yeah, she was.
Thank goodness.
She's really like an actor's actor.
Yeah. She's like a Sarah Paulson before Sarah Paulson became Sarah Paulson.
Well, she's going to get more work now.
Oh, I
for
think.
Sure.
Yeah.
She's amazing. And that's all the casting on the show was pretty great. Besides, you know, I agree with you. Nathan, who cares?
But also kind of genius to like not care about the men. To like to make the men just like less interesting.
Yeah.
And whether that be through the writing, or the casting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it was absolutely just about like relishing in those women.
Totally. Yeah.
It was so good.
I loved it.
Laura Dern for the win forever.
Laura Dern in a night patch. She's so great. For the win.
John. I was on board, I think, the second Reese Witherspoon started limping. It really didn't matter what else happened. Totally. I was like, okay, yeah, this is it for me.
Yeah.
She could be in anything and I'd be on
she
board.
She was so great.
She was so great.
So great.
John, what's next, baby? What do you got going on?
What do I have? Well, we're going to go shoot some search party.
Mm-hmm.
I got some real fun stuff to do
that
I just heard about. Oh my God, I literally was like, I'm missing the table read.
What?
No, it's tomorrow.
Oh my God, oh my God.
I was like,
oh my God. Delete.
wow. No, let's see.
Tiburita of Ep 1?
Of 5 Eps.
Ooh.
I'm so excited.
Great.
But yeah, Kate and I are working on a show together that I'm so excited about, and I hope the world gets to see it. And
so it's just something that you're working on now?
Yes.
Okay.
We're like, we've written something, we're hoping we get to make it. So
great. Wow.
I really hope it's
good. I've never met her. I think she's so amazing.
She's a star.
She's a full star. Like, I watch her in that show and I'm like, the Academy Award.
I know. She's an incredible actress.
The Academy Award. The banana videos.
Oh my God.
How have we gone this long without saying?
We haven't talked about Banana Phone. You guys.
Banana Phone.
I love Banana Phone.
You should be so proud. And you DP all those.
Honey, I shoot them.
Honey.
We can see them together, but it rests on her performance, obviously.
Oh my God. Well, of course.
I would retire on them.
Okay.
That'd be it for me, the cap and the gown.
Can we ask this? Like, how do the premises... do those organically?
Well, it very organically happened because we were in the Vancouver airport,
right.
So stoned.
Yeah.
We were on tour together, and we were like, and she had a banana, and she just like, she always, we have a joke that we always do together where we just like, we'll be talking, and then we're like, oh, sorry. And we just take a fake call. So like, it's like a good way of like, if someone's talking about something that's like very sincere, it's just funny for us to be like, so, and then pretend it's the other person's manager.
That's so funny.
And we're like, yeah, I'm with her right now. And I'm like, oh God. Okay. I'll tell her.
Yeah. Yeah, she needs to know.
And then she's like, what is it? I'm like, I can't get into it. You know? It's like our favorite thing to do. And so she started doing that with a banana. And I was like, I was laughing so hard.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, and so I just started, and like, by the way, people in the line were laughing. It was very sweet.
Oh.
And then I just shot her doing the one of like, where the first one where she's just kind of like, he just said, I love you. Yeah. And it was killing me. It was so funny. And then once we did that one, we were like, we should just like follow the relationship.
The second one was the roses.
The roses.
The flowers.
And she just had, those roses in the apartment where she was staying.
Uh-huh.
And so we're like, we'll use these. And then it was more just about like trying, once we like did those, we're like, it's always just about doing that kind of like small
demure
thing, and it's like rom-com,
yeah,
like dramedy, like rom-drom, like
you guys nail it.
I think my favorite moments of 555 are, in a series of amazing moments, is definitely you guys on the bed as
me
the
too.
Actors
I love
think
that
that's
so much
so
you getting the number wrong is it's pretty perfect. You don't get better than that. And also the scene where Kristen Johnson's like, yeah, just put it wherever the fuck you want. I feel like I hear someone start to laugh in the back.
Yes. Oh, totally. We were laughing so much.
I can't imagine being on set with her, and especially doing that scene that you guys do where she gets on the floor in front of you. Guys, watch 555.
Thank
just do
you.
It. Oh my goodness.
I'm not gonna, you know what, I'm not gonna fucking ruin the whole thing.
Please, no. Please watch,
watch
it.
Watch it.
Watch it. Figure out what the tube is.
$3.99 for
the whole
5 episodes.
There you go.
And then you know what? Catch some acting reels.
Why
exactly
not?
While you're there, I actually have a great thing to show you guys. Well actually there's no way you're gonna find this because I don't know what it's called, but I'll figure out a way, and then maybe you can tack it onto the episode.
Send it. Oh my God,
we'll tack it on.
There's a real company, reel.
Uh-huh.
There are real companies, I'm sure, plural, but
sure.
I found one on YouTube, and it is a treasure trove where,
oh my God,
it's a real service where they like provide the kind of generic scenes, like a courtroom scene, like a quirky friend scene, a romantic scene. And they shoot, like, we found it because Kate and I were watching this girl that we know. We were watching her reel because, you know, late
it's
night,
what
whatever.
You
and
like you do.
And we were like, what? It was like so eerie. We couldn't figure out why. We're like, what the hell is going on? And like, and then we were like, oh, they've literally haven't cut away from her. It's not cutting between two people. It's just one shot. And there's like a shoulder in the frame to be like the other person. But it's like, it's clearly, it's either a literal dummy or it's like an intern who's like,
gotta stand in.
Yeah, we're like, it's clearly not an actor. Like, something just felt false about
it.
And then we realized every scene was that. Like, there was never cutting to the other person. And then we like looked at the YouTube account that was making it, and it was like all these generic reels. It is the funniest thing in the world.
And it's on Vimeo?
No, it's on YouTube.
It's
on YouTube. Okay. good.
I think we can.
That's a new wormhole.
We can stumble on a couple. We'll just do a wide net search of real companies,
reels,
and then we'll just shoot them over your way to confirm. Okay. Oh my god. So now this is it. This is where we've gone to the segment
it's the
of
moment.
The show. It's the moment. This is I Don't Think So, Honey. We take 1 minute to rail against something in culture that's bothering us. Matt,
John has alluded to his.
John has alluded to his previously. Matt, do you have anything? I don't have anything.
You know, I have one.
Okay. All right.
I have one. All right. Let's get 1 minute
let's
on
get
the
one
clock.
One minute on the clock. Okay. This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. 1 minute on the clock. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Cloth napkins at restaurants. I want a paper napkin. You don't know what I need. Ooh. I might have to blow my nose. Now, I don't feel comfortable blowing my nose in a cloth napkin. You want to know why? Because I guess you're going to reuse it. I mean, I would imagine if you're paying the money. I don't think so, honey. What, you know what? Take the money, put them into something else. Get better quality food. How about that? Mm. I want paper. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, honey. Cloth. Also, you know what? I'm sorry, bougie. Just dress it down. Bring it back. Bring it
seconds.
Back to basics. You know what? If you give me a cloth napkin and it's a plastic table, there's a disconnect there. I work in a restaurant. I'm industry, so I feel like I can give you this advice. Mm-hmm. Make it work. Make everything match. If you're going to charge me $49 for
seconds.
A king crab leg, I don't want to eat it on a paper plate. And then don't tell me this is casual fine dining. This is, it's adverse. Mm. So I don't think so, honey. I've had allergies while I've been here. The restaurant has went out of cloth napkins, and I didn't know what to do. I had to go in the bathroom for toilet paper. I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute. Wow.
Oh, boy.
A missive against the restaurant industry.
Wow.
Wow. I agree.
And that, to me, is culture.
That's culture.
Because
absolutely.
I've been very involved in the restaurant industry for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know what best practices
we're trying
are.
To get out we're trying to get out very badly, but we're trying
it's around the corner.
We have our toes dipped into the tour guide industry. Okay,
what tours?
It's called The Ride.
It's fantastic.
It's in New York. Okay, you've probably seen it. It's like a big sideways bus.
It's like a comedy tour.
Yeah,
seats
it's
face
a
out.
Comedy tour?
Oh, yeah.
So it was originated by Darcy Carden and Timothy Dunn.
No
yes,
way.
Yeah.
And it's just evolved into this great thing now. It's like they get a lot of UCB people to do it.
It's like, yeah, they put two comedians on a bus and call us tour guides. And yeah. They're like, oh, know enough about the city that when you fly by, you can say like when it was built or like what
or
some dates
city.
About and then just make yeah. a bunch of like jokes about it.
Right.
Oh,
right,
that's
right.
fun.
And now I'm thinking... Because I'm starting to get to the point where I can't really do the waiting tables thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other day, a woman had some cork in her wine, and she's like, I have some cork in my wine. And I was like, does it matter? And she was
can't
like,
believe.
Yes.
Wow.
I should have been fired, but hanging on.
Can't believe you weren't.
But the thing is, I've now heard that the tour guide stuff is actually not that hard, and it's pretty easy to get a license, and you make great tips. So,
ooh, good.
So we'll see. Hopefully, I won't have to come to that, but, you know.
And then hopefully someone videotapes you on the tour.
Yeah,
it goes
yeah.
viral.
Exactly.
You get a series.
You get a series.
Someone has to... You should EP. Tour guide series.
I'd be... honestly, I would be honored to put my name on it. I just know time-wise for me.
It's not going to really work.
I can't kind of get my hands dirty in the way that
exactly.
I actually like with in a creative process, but literally,
right.
my name's on it.
Which is really what matters,
yeah.
right? By the way, guys, it will have aired by now, but last week you'll have seen me on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Wow, I
no.
didn't do that great, did I?
Oh, okay.
5K.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's going to... Well, it's 5K's, airing on... You know what? It's not bad.
5K's a few dinners recommended by me here.
There
you
go.
Know what? Yes.
Just a few.
5K is us hitting up Connie and Ted's again.
There you go.
Don't,
I get that seafood boil.
You did it.
You did it.
You did
now there's other
Ted's.
Places.
Move on.
We're
you
doing
work
that.
At a seafood place. Move on.
Chengdu Taste.
Chengdu Taste. Sushi
Chengdu
Park.
Taste.
Sushi Park.
I'm gonna. Sushi Park's gonna be your expensive one.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
You're gonna go to Sushi Park.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta get a reservation. Mm-hmm. You're gonna do omakase. Do you know what that means?
No.
I just learned too, sweetie.
Talk to me. What is makase?
Omakase is when the chef omakase. Just makes whatever is fresh.
Oh.
And I had to say, I said no raw shellfish. Because
okay.
literally just spiritually, I was like, no.
Yeah.
It freaks me out. Uh-huh. You might be fine with that.
I'm good with it.
Yeah. So, but it was the best sushi I've ever had, hands down.
Wow. Good to know. Love sushi.
And it's just, and they know, it's just so nice.
Wow, wow, wow.
We're making a rest.
Where's that? And where's Chengdu Taste? Monterey Park?
Chengdu Taste is in
Guys,
San Gabriel Valley. Careful.
Okay. Careful.
And Sushi Park's in West Hollywood.
Fun. We'll go.
We're going.
But you're not going to, I'm going to leave with a list.
Please.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely.
I can't talk.
Okay, I think I'll go.
Time for you.
Oh, okay. I think I have something.
Yes, I'm good?
Yep.
All right, this is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, talkative Lyft drivers here in L.A.? One guy yesterday was just like the broiest bro and was trying to talk to me about baseball and the Dodgers. And I was like, sir, I'm so sorry. I'm listening to this new song. Please leave me be. But he kept pushing Yasiel Puig onto me, you guys. Mm-mm. Yasiel Puig. And I know shit about this person. And I don't have the real estate in my brain to know anything about Yasiel Puig.
30 seconds.
About how he's the hothead of the Dodgers, about how he had a promising start when he was first picked. But now he's batting what? He's batting 70 something. I don't know baseball. I don't know what these stats mean. I don't know what these metrics are. I don't think so, honey. Do not push this hetero narrative onto my 15. Trip here. I don't think so, honey. Lyft drivers. A terrifying Lyft driver on her right here. She was swerving and twirling and just trying to plug her vacation.
Stacey Renee,
her Airbnb substitute business. I don't think so, honey. Talkative Lyft drivers, and that's one minute.
Cool. Listen, coming soon to you in LA with Stacey Renee. She has got a name for it. It's gonna be not only is it gonna be an Airbnb, it's gonna be a destination.
Oh wow.
She's gonna hang out with you the whole time, set up dinner, she'll serve you.
She'll have activities for the kids back at the Airbnb. She'll have jump ropes. She'll have like a kiddie pool. She has it all planned out, but logistically not feasible.
And she detailed all this as she was driving us wildly on this. I was like, God, this is crazy.
It's so scary.
That's the thing about LA too, is like you take a lot of lifts and you get who you get.
You get who you get.
Today the guy goes, he goes, he's putting on the navigation and it was not agreeing with him, and he goes, just like all women, right? She doesn't listen. And Bowen just goes, okay.
I think Otto, yeah.
You had exasperated. Okay.
And he was
like,
always proud of.
And then he goes,
yeah, that's huge.
He immediately goes, sorry.
Yeah.
So they're learning.
He cleaned up. John, this is your moment.
Oh God,
I can't wait for this.
I can't wait for this. Oh my God, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be what you.
I think he
planned.
Has to. I think it's written in blood.
So we have the timer in front of John. This is John Early's. I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, Anna Kendrick. Listen, and this is why. I am. By the way, as you know, RuPaul just followed. Like, it's like the Twitter clout has increased so heavily in the past 2 years. I know that I am risking a lot
by talking about this.
Okay, but to me, it's worth it. You named your memoir Scrappy Little Nobody. Scrappy Little Nobody?
Damn it. No, 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 no.
Okay, I just don't know. I don't know really what else to say, but that's absolutely inexcusable. It's not okay. It's not okay. I don't. You're not a scrappy little nobody if your quote is like 3 million for a movie. You're right. Not a scrappy little nobody if you have a house in the Hollywood Hills. Like I just and you're not a scrappy 10. Little nobody if you have an ingenue singing voice. Like I don't. Like that's no.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I didn't say much. But
you
man,
know
listen,
what?
And listen. By the way. Come at me, like, defend yourself. Like, I know you're a longtime listener, but, like, I don't know.
That's one minute. Now, listen. Here we go. You're absolutely right. No Cinderella is a scrappy little nobody. No.
Was she in the
I guess Cinderella is a scrappy little nobody, and who then? But, you know, you get it.
She was in the Stage Door movie, right? Or not the, camp. Like, the camp. Camp, that's what it was. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
No Oscar nominee is a scrappy little nobody.
No. Thank you so much. That
welcome.
Was
it wasn't I don't know, whatever.
No. You know no. what? It was sorry. Measured and it was correct.
It was thank correct you. And that's the most important
I guess
part.
I'm just a scrappy little nobody.
You should name your autobiography that just because.
just cause. And just get the cease and desist, but ignore it.
One time a guy said to me, he's like, I mean, I don't understand why we're giving Lea Michele any parts when we have Anna Kendrick. I was like, first of all, they're so different.
By the way, I have zero opinion of her work. I actually don't know her as an actress. I just saw the book in an airport and I was like, now what the hell is going on?
yeah. I think she's good. I mean, I certainly liked Into the Woods. I liked it very much. I think Pitch Perfect is like the second one is fully it's there's a lot of
full trash.
A lot of racism in them.
Oh God.
Lots of immigration jokes.
Yeah.
Which is what everybody loves.
Rebel Wilson loves a racist joke.
Yeah, you know, mainstream.
I don't know if it's her in the movie doing it, but
I mean Yeah, but it's like, no, it's not her. Well, no, it is her. It doesn't matter. I'm it's just, it's all racist. No, oh, John. John is gonna rile the base up. I can't wait.
Rebel Wilson, call us. Come on, defend. Come
on. Oh my God, you guys, this has been a great episode. Thank you so much, John Early.
Listen, right. Bell House, June 24th and 25th.
It's true.
Get those ticks.
Jacqueline Novak, Ham opening.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh my God.
I love you guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for this being has been, on. We love you so much.
It's great to see you in this natural LA light.
Thank you.
And you know, now that I've been here, I'm like, it's okay.
Literally, let me curate your restaurant experience, yeah. And then you're going to be sold.
I can't wait for this, and I will frame it, honey. Guys, thanks for listening to Las Culturistas. That's Matt Rogers.
And that's Bo Yang over there.
Whereas I was, of course, John Early.
Whereas. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit foreverdogproductions.com.